Our scripture lesson is just one small part of the Christmas story. It comes from Luke 2, verses 5 through 7. Listen to God's word. Joseph went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word, and that through it we know the love that you have for us, for the ways that you have acted. God, we pray that you would take these words off the page and make them come alive in our hearts. May we hear what you would have us hear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So when I was preparing my sermon this week, I got a call from a friend of mine, which was kind of fortuitous because it reminded me of this unusual birth story that she had had surrounding the birth of her second child. So my friends Kim and Dave had made plans for how the sequence of events would happen. They had prearranged for a friend to come over to take care of their son, and then they could go to the hospital. So when Kim said it was time, Dave called the friend, and once the friend arrived, Dave got in the car, backed it up out of the garage, was sitting there waiting to whisk Kim away as soon as she finished her most recent contraction. Well, Kim recognized that this wasn't an ordinary contraction, and so she asked the friend to get Dave from the car and to call 911, because the baby was on its way now. So, quite contrary to their well-laid-out plans, Dave ended up helping deliver their daughter with the 911 dispatcher talking him through it, step by step. The paramedics arrived just in time to cut the umbilical cord. Thankfully, everything went smoothly. Mom and daughter were fine, and they had quite the birth story to tell. In fact, a few weeks later, they ended up taking their baby daughter to that 911 dispatcher, got to meet the person, and they got kind of an interesting birth souvenir. They got a copy of the 911 dispatch tape chronicling her birth. We probably all know stories about a birth that didn't go according to plan. Knowing how dramatic those stories can be, I am particularly struck by how understated the scriptural account is. We read, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in the manger because there was no place for them in the inn. That's it. That's the whole story we get of Jesus' birth. Because we don't have the story, we fill in the details in our heads. We come up with pictures of a cozy stable, fresh straw, animals that look relatively clean, keep quiet, and respectfully keep their distance from the main participants. When we add the visiting shepherds to our mental picture, instead of the scraggly outcasts of society that they were, we think of them as well-kempt, all-American types, with a few clean, well-behaved sheep in tow. I have a collection of manger scenes, and so I brought in a few and a puzzle. We have this manger scene there. This is the picture that we conjure up. It's so picturesque, it's so warm, it's so cozy, it's so glowing. But I want you to think with me, imagine with me, with the help of this video, what if the story were more like this?
Thank you. this time.
I don't know about you, but I find that video both disturbing and strangely moving. Obviously, it's not an accurate portrayal of how it was 2,000 years ago. Instead, I think it uses some modern-day parallels to evoke an ethos or a mood that probably was very similar to Joseph and Mary's situation. An unmarried couple expecting a child who had only one another to lean on, since who knows what kind of rejection they'd experience in light of Mary's scandalous pregnancy. Forced to take a long, harrowing journey at a most inopportune time. And then the contractions start. Mary's water breaks. And not only are they all alone with no 911 dispatcher to call, but the only shelter they can find is a dirty, messy stable. I've been to those kind of remote truck stop bathrooms where we saw the woman give birth in the video, where you don't want to touch anything you don't have to, and you feel like washing your hands or even taking a full body shower after leaving them. That is probably an apt parallel to the messiness that surrounded Jesus's birth. The loner, scary-looking truck driver, and the ladies of the night that do their business at the truck stop evoke the same sense of literal and moral uncleanness of the shepherds who are the first to witness and celebrate the birth. None of this fits our mental picture of the cozy manger scene. It's hard to square the edginess and messiness of the video with all the beauty and perfection that surrounds Christmas these days. The Reformed Church of Hungary, who created this video as a social media outreach tool, introduces it in this way. Snow, Christmas tree, nice presents, family dinner, the holiday of love. These images come to mind, and they should be the ingredients of the ideal Christmas film. But what is left of real Christmas once it has been stripped of these usual, reassuring ingredients? The biblical story, a story void of comfort and indulgence because it takes place at the edge of the world, so that God can show himself under these impossible circumstances. We believe this is what the real Christmas is. This video feels edgy because it depicts a story which, as they say, takes place at the edge of the world. What makes both the video and that original Christmas birth story messy, edgy, and disturbing is precisely what makes it good news. God came into the mess. There is no place too out of the way, too unclean, too dark, to which God will not go. There is no situation too messy, too evil, too fouled up, to which God will not shine light. There is no person too filthy, too sinful, too immoral, to whom God will not show himself. From the very first moment of God with us, Emmanuel's earthly existence as the little baby Jesus, God demonstrated a willingness to enter into the messiness of the world, of our lives, and of our hearts. This is good news in yet another messy week of world news, where a terrorist driving a truck mows over people at a Christmas market in Germany, where international tensions rise when a Russian ambassador is shot in Turkey, and where we continue to see the helpless plight of the people of Aleppo and all the refugees seeking shelter. God enters into the mess of our world and is shining light. This is good news when we find ourselves struggling, relationally, financially, or emotionally. When we're grieving, distraught, disappointed, or fearful. When our lives and our families don't look like the Norman Rockwell paintings, or don't seem to measure up to the perfect, well-adjusted lives of our friends on Facebook. God enters right into those messy struggles and is shining light. This is good news when we see the selfishness, self-righteousness, evil, and just plain messiness in our own hearts. When we realize that all the messy family dynamics aren't just about everyone else in the family, but that we have our own parts that we play. When we feel like it's impossible to change our bad habits or bad relational patterns. God enters into messy hearts and is shining light and can transform us. We sing joy to the world, not because everything is joyful in our world. We know that's not true. We sing joy to the world because we recognize that it is into this imperfect world that Jesus comes. As the verse from that song says, he comes to make his blessings known far as the curse is found. Jesus Christ enters a world that has been cursed through the fall, and he continues to shine light and work towards the world's redemption. God promises to walk through the messy circumstances of our lives and to work all things together for good. God promises that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't need to clean up our act first, because Jesus has shown that he can enter into the messy, and that once he does, he will do his work of cleansing, healing, and transformation. What good news, and what a testimony to God's love for us. That on that first Christmas night, God made clear that he can enter into and redeem even the messiest of situations. That Emmanuel, God with us, began his earthly existence on the edges of human society, demonstrating his concern for all of humanity, not just the cleaned up, respectable types. These are reasons for great joy. My prayer for us all is that wherever we are witnessing or experiencing messiness in our world, or in our lives, or in our hearts, that we would be on the lookout for God's light that shines even there. That we would take hope that Jesus Christ does some of his best work in the messiest of situations. That we would not be afraid to take our messy thoughts and feelings to God in honest prayer, but would be assured that God is not put off by the mess, but instead has shown his willingness to enter in. And as we experience God's light and God's faithfulness, that we would follow Jesus in being willing to enter into the messes around us, to proclaim the good news, and to show God's love. In the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.